Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Jess Franco Appreciation Society. Because tonight, our movie, it's another Jess Franco movie. Yay! Tonight, we're going to be watching Jess Franco's The Cannibals, which is a totally different movie than the one we saw last week, because this one has an S at the end and the other one didn't. So sit back, enjoy the trailer, and we'll be back with a little more Jess just for you.
White goddess, give me ease, my door. White goddess, Salahale.
My name's Jeremy Taylor. I'm a specialist in tropical diseases. I'm married with a daughter, Lena, and I was born in Columbus, Ohio, 1940. I was sent by the Shilton Foundation to Malawi, and my daughter disappeared. Monstrous. They were eating her alive.
Our enemies, the white men, are coming back to our territory. Death to the white invaders!
I heard some strange cries a while back coming from the banks. Then the next day, we found a scientific expedition that had been attacked and eaten by a tribe of cannibals.
Away from me. Let her be. My God. Tearing her to pieces. No, I can't bear it. Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
Vile
beast.
Maria! Can you hear us?
Benton! Benton, where are you? Benton, where are you?
And welcome back. We just saw, well, White Cannibal Queen is one name. Cannibals with an S, that's the other name. It's basically the one that Jess Franco did that wasn't Cannibal Terror or The Devil Hunter.
It really has a feel like somebody put together this on a weekend in a back lot somewhere.
Well, what happened was that while Jess Franco was shooting Cannibal Terror, he said, hey, we've got all these actors, the sun's not quite set yet, and we've still got a bunch of film. Let's shoot some B-roll and I'll make another movie. And so he kind of shot this on the down low and made this movie while he was shooting the other.
Yep. You know, that doesn't really surprise me much.
That's kind of a Roger Corman, Albert Pune thing to do.
So the movie is, well, it does exactly what it says on the tin. It's cannibals in the jungle.
Jungle is an interesting use of word, too.
Yeah, it's more like they went someplace where there were a bunch of trees and didn't give a shit what else was there.
So you have our blonde hero who, if he ever gets a name, fuck if I know what it is. So
Jeremy,
Jeff, Jason,
Jess,
whatever. And so he is on an expedition into the jungle where the cannibals are, and for some unknown reason is bringing along his family, his wife and his daughter.
On a boat, which is then attacked by a shit ton of cannibals who proceed to immediately kill his wife. They tear her apart on the deck.
And it does this weird art house nouveau thing where it's all slow motion and close up and shaky and like, what the fuck is going on?
Weird background screams interspersed with this weird psycho music.
Well, it's like almost like the screams are more like infant crying, or like going back to, you know, regressing to an infantile kind of sound. Like, I guess the opposite of birth is death, and, you know, you're going to meet yourself going one way or the other.
But the problem is, it drags on for fucking ever. Like, 3, 4, 5 minutes of just this agonizing cannibal bit that's slow motion.
Yeah, and it takes more film to shoot a slow motion thing than it does to shoot, say, fast or regular motion. So he was essentially burning a shit ton of film to get the slow motion thing going. Especially in lighting, because you have to have a lot of lighting to do slow motion properly.
Poor old Jeremy, he comes up on a deck, sees his wife being eaten alive, and the cannibals, they jump in, whack on the head, and they drag him off.
They toss him on the raft or something like that, or in the water and swim away, and his daughter hides below in the cabin to, you know, between some chairs and shit, and the cannibals, quote-unquote, come in, they stare for a few seconds, then leave.
The thing about the scene, there was this one bit, the cannibals come in looking for the daughter, and, like, the lighting is really good, and it's, like, got this, it's lit from below, so they have that scary flashlight face going on. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm like, well, wait a second, okay, the cannibal gut-munching scene was kind of artsy, even if it was a little long, and this flashlight under the face spooky shot that they did, that was really well done. I'm like, wait a minute, did Jess Franco, like, get skilled in between?
Or did he take something from another movie and put it in? You know, it's kind of feels like a jungle movie of a more, a less cannibalistic type. But yeah.
And the thing is, Jess Franco has done a few good movies. Mind you, not very many, but there are some. And if you want an actually decent, enjoyable jungle movie that he did, go watch Golden Temple on Amazons. That's enjoyable. It's a weird movie, but it's not bad.
And so they drag poor old nameless what the fuck his name is back to their cannibal tribe. And this is the bit where you say, oh yes, I've seen Cannibal Terror. I know this scene. Because you get to see the Al Pacino lookalike, the Ringo Starr lookalike, and the guy who looks like Peter Criss from Kiss.
The dubbing for all the natives in this movie... natives fucking sucks ass. Oh my god, it is so bad. It doesn't even fit the type of person this is. I mean, it sounds like the stereotypical shit you heard in 1940s, you know, cartoons or movies about cannibals.
We have seen some atrocious dubbing up to this point. However, this one takes the cake.
Come quickly, Miss Anna. Professor Taylor's having another attack.
For example, when Jess Franco makes his cameo a little bit later on when Jeremy gets back into the jungle and he finds a guide, and Jess Franco is sitting there and at the bar, and he has this Texas accent.
Yeah, because this is that kind of 70s, really bad 70s dubbing that proliferated back then in, like, dubbed Chinese movies and stuff like that, when they didn't know how to cast people who didn't suck. I mean, all those Bruce Lee movies where the secondary or tertiary characters have the shitty voices. You know, like the black one from Way of the Dragon.
You mean to tell me you don't know what Chinese spare ribs are?
What the fuck? Who the hell talks like that? I mean, I'm partly black, okay? I was raised in a black family. I never heard any black people in my entire life ever talk like that guy.
I did, speaking of sound and sound design, I did like the music.
Although I will complain about some of the use of the music. Let's get into the really bad hollow sounding drumming or tapping they did with some of the eating scenes where they had the infantile sounding with women being eaten and this really tinny sounding drum going on for the first
that
or second
kill. That was
sort of
a special case.
I hated that. It drove me nuts. And then they would go from having this kind of really bad savage sounding singing to this almost to this really it's like a choral or something, like a Christmas, you know, choral of savages beating drums that sounded like from a completely different movie.
And so they go to the cannibal village and they take Jeremy there and they've got him on the pole tied up all Ewok style, and they take him there and they whack off his arm.
Yeah, they take the bottom half of his left arm and they start eating it, and then they toss it to the side when something gets their attention.
And I'm like, dude, that was really fucking rude to get halfway through eating somebody and then like, nah, I'm not really interested, and leave.
Yeah, basically the first time I saw that film, I thought, okay, so maybe these guys are like American expats, or they're from all over the place. They went native. They started their own tribe because they were sick of wherever they were living, and they went back to nature, and now they eat people.
And Jess Franco is the incompetent filmmaker gift that keeps on giving, because we've got the young girl. She's like 7 or 10 or so. And the last time we saw her is she's hiding from the cannibal. She looks through a window, and the very next scene, she's lying unconscious in a river. There's absolutely no connective tissue between here and here.
How did she get into the river?
Well, she must have jumped off of the boat and tried to swim and sink, because she couldn't pilot the damn boat, so what's she going to do? She's going to get out and swim. So.
Yeah, but she just shows up in the river, just unconscious. It's, you know, Jess, you kind of need to show what the hell's going on here.
Yeah, you need the in-between.
A and B need to have a connecting line.
And then one of the cannibals finds the daughter lying in the river.
Brings her back, proclaiming white goddess, basically, and they all stop what they're doing, which is why they drop the arm and go ogle at this young, you know, white blonde woman. And the shaman is obviously the leader. He's got a stick with a skull on it.
That skull on the stick was incredibly distracting because it was just loose enough that it was chattering. So when the jaw kept going, I'm like, is it trying to talk? Is he doing a ventriloquist thing?
Yeah.
No, it was just a shitty prop on a shitty stick that was just wobbling.
So Jeremy Turner, I think his last name is Turner, he starts backing up and eventually gets on his feet while they're all distracted, runs into the jungle, eventually comes to a road that goes to a town on this island, and here come a couple of rangers, essentially in a jeep with rifles. They're there to make sure the cannibals don't go to town and kidnap the locals.
Jeremy, he gets back to New York, where he promptly loses his memory and wanders around for the next 10 or so years trying to come to terms with the loss of his arm, of his wife, and suddenly he remembers, say, oh yes, I've got a daughter.
So he goes down to this island village to kind of drum up support from people there.
He says, I want 1,000 men and the best trackers you can, to this drunk in the bar, who also happens to be a cameo from Jess Franco. And so Jess is like, no, man, I'm not leading you into the jungle. Get out of here. And Jeremy's like dejectedly stomping out of the bar, winds up running into his English patron and his hot New York chick, who say, hey, we've got some folks that we're going to go take into the jungle. Let's go find your daughter.
They're going to go along with him because it's going to be fun. We're going to go have a nice time in this jungle and pretend like there's cannibals and savages and stuff.
These people would get lost in like a zoological garden.
Yeah, these are the kind of people that would be totally out of their depth, you know, at Bouchard Gardens or someplace like that. I'm lost! You're in fucking Victoria, B.C. How can you be lost?
So they're walking into the jungle. This one couple, they say, oh, it's too hot. I'm tired. Let's go back to the car and wait. Because they just drove into the jungle a little bit to find the cannibals. Because all cannibals are 20 minutes from downtown. And so these two, they break off and go back to the car. And the rest of the expedition goes into the jungle. At that point, Jess Franco realizes, oh shit, I have like 8 characters that's way too many, and then, like, kills most of them.
They come to and basically a village with dead people everywhere, massacred in the middle of no place.
And so that's pretty much the rest of the movie, where the rest of the expedition is killed very abruptly. Jeremy and one other dude find the cannibal village. There's the blonde young girl who is now grown up to a very hot
teenage girl
yeah. with an amazing amount of makeup for having no contact with the outside world.
Because everybody except those two ends up getting caught, including the blonde sponsor and her British boyfriend, who ends up having a heart attack. He gets separated from the rest of them, has a heart attack. He can't find his way out. He gets down to a river, starts crossing, and then gets shot in the side, in the neck, by one of the savages with a dart gun, a blow dart gun.
That's the frustrating thing about the movie, is that you have a potential for a high body count, and it happens all in about the space of about 5 minutes. And, like, one of the dudes was dying of a heart attack and not really of cannibal interference. I mean, yeah, the cannibals do the blow dart thing on him, but... So, why don't you just take all of these people, spread them out over the runtime of the movie, and slowly pick them off like a slasher flick?
Well, also... You got the one sequence, which obviously is shot somewhere other than where it was filmed, because you've got alligators and a rattlesnake. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think either of these are found in Spain. And I'm pretty damn sure rattlesnakes are not found in the jungle. But at least you can have one person getting attacked by an alligator and another person getting bit by the rattlesnake.
Even if it's a shit alligator puppet like from Brutes and Savages, at least give us that, for God's sakes.
One guy did get shot in the back with an arrow, so at least they were diversifying their kills.
Yeah, but it was all in one spot. Just spread them out and give us loving attention to the murder and savageness elsewhere.
Yeah, do a Ruggero Deodato kind of job, where you just pick them off in sickening ways.
Yeah, like Emmanuel and the Last Cannibals. That one actually had everybody... There was a ton of people that got killed in that movie, but they all got nicely spaced out, with only one or two people getting killed at one time.
And so the young cannibal goddess cuts their ropes, has a face heel turn, and then they flee into the jungle. They have a fight in the river with the champion of the tribe, and
Jeremy's assistant helper gets wiped. He gets stabbed in the chest by the champion and dead.
And they get away. End of the movie.
This reminds me exactly of a similar scene from last week's movie, from Last Cannibal World, where the male lead had to fight cannibals in the jungle, and they stood and watched him beat the guy.
And there they get away, and that's it to the movie. And so, yes, there is absolutely nothing to this movie whatsoever. It's, you have an expedition going into the jungle, the expedition gets attacked, the girl gets separated from daddy comes back 20 years later, rescues the girl, and they run away into the jungle. And that's the entirety of the movie. That's it.
I mean, even if, with this very basic plot, which derails itself a few times, it could have been so much better.
In the Frankenstein manner in which it was made, Jess Franco's Frankenstein?
No, that's coming down the list.
Yeah, that's we'll Jess get Franco's to that. Dracula. But, you know, Jess Franco, as in flank steak, since it was on display so much in this thing. Out of all the cannibal movies we've reviewed here, and you know they still make cannibal movies to this day in this country by the billion. Every country I'm sure has their share of cannibal movies. This one is definitely the one that, you know, I've had enough of. I don't need to see it again.
I feel bad for the poor old lead who basically has to spend the entire movie with his arm behind his back so it looks like it's cut off.
Initially, I thought they'd cut off his leg because I was watching it on a small screen and it looked like they'd cut his leg off at the knee, and then I saw his arm. Oh, okay, so they're not going to eat him, because I thought, oh, he's going to be limping away in the forest.
Occasionally, there's shots where it actually looks like there's something in the sleeve, but it's not all the way down.
Well, what they do is they have him lying on the ground, and they put like leaves on his lower arm, so it looks like it's cut off. You see him lying in a bed with his arm held so that it doesn't look like he has the rest of his arm.
There's also the acting performance from the daughter, the white goddess, who. Okay, I'll admit she was very pretty, but she had about as much acting talent as a stick.
In the extras on the DVD, Jess Franco pretty much straight up says, "That is the dumbest woman I have ever met, that I have ever worked with. She looked great. Her best feature was her ass, but she had nothing going on upstairs."
So was she an actual actress or a model?
I don't know, and...
Frankly, it doesn't really matter.
Well, it kind of does, because if she was an actual actress, I'm thinking it's going to be a while before she gets any role that doesn't require her to strip down her ass.
All right, Ashley, I'm going to challenge you. Say something nice.
I like the four leads. I liked the dubbing on them, and I thought they were a bit more engaging than the other characters. Apart from that, I couldn't give a shit.
All right, no, that's fair enough. Really, who gives a... No, you're going to give a shit. Say something nice, Brad.
I will admit that Franco does have an eye for attractive women.
Hell yes.
All of the characters in this movie that were female were very easy on the eyes.
Weirdly enough, we don't have any instances of the Jess Franco vag cam where it's like, I'm just going to zoom in on the nether region and hang for 30 seconds.
One full frontal shot and some boobs. That's it. And the full frontal is very brief.
And the back section don't look bad either.
So, do you have any final thoughts, my friends?
Well, I'm satisfied. That's another way of saying I'm done.
I'm sorry if this episode is a little slight, because we like to give you guys the maximum value for your dollar. And there's just nothing here to work with.
Given what it is, which is just basically a spliced together movie made of a couple of different movies, and the fact it was done on the cheap, you know, near the end of production of a previous film, you don't have a lot to work with that didn't come from someplace else.
In short, Jess Franco didn't give two fucks about this movie, and neither should you. So, Brad, would you seize Cannibals, or would you let it alone?
I would completely let it stay on the shelf and rot.
But we're not passing judgment on quality of movie. We're passing judgment on if it's offensive or not.
Yeah, it totally skates by me. Okay, it's got some gore. It's got some violence. There's some nudity. But it's all really tame.
Would you seize it, or would you let it alone?
Hell no. I mean, there's nothing really that would set off anybody's alarms other than it's a cannibal movie. But that's what you came here for. So you get what you came here for. You get people eating other people. If that's what you came here for, don't bitch. So if that, taken by that token, basically, it's weak by comparison to others. Especially comparison to others Jess Franco's done.
All right. So it gets a pass from all around. The shopkeeper may keep his stuff. Completely inoffensive. So, Ashley, did you like Jess Franco's Cannibals?
Nah, I thought it was crappy ass. I mean, I don't blame him necessarily for it, but it was... Okay, so basically... The plot kind of falls apart here and there, and I thought it was a little choppy, plus they used stuff from other films, so it was kind of just lame.
Has Jess actually done anything on the list that was worth a damn?
I have seen some, a very few, good Jess Franco movies, none of which are ones we've reviewed. For example, I rather enjoyed Golden Temple Amazons. Not one of the ones on the list, but... That was a movie that I enjoyed. I thought it was well put together. However, 90% of all of Jess' movies that I've watched are not all that good.
But, you know, compared this movie to The Devil Hunter, or to Bloody Moon, or to Women Behind Bars, this one is probably the worst of the bunch.
It's less offensive than those movies, but it's also less crafted. And I'll be honest, those movies aren't good either. This one is just, it sort of feels like something that somebody put together on a weekend.
I mean, it basically reminds me of that movie we reviewed a couple of weeks ago with the animal sacrifices and shit in it.
Oh, Brutes and Savages.
Brutes and Savages. It reminds me of that crossed with his other cannibal movie, except it doesn't have the animal violence, but it just has this kind of you are there type of thing without being any good. And it's on that it's on a similar level with that, with the acting and... Yeah, and the stuff that does involve gore is just, you know, I mean, it's tame.
Well, it's like with Devil Hunter, for example. That one I would watch again, even though it's a poor movie, simply because it's so bad that there's parts in it that are entertaining because of the badness. Whereas this, I would be like, oh, I'll just watch something else.
Well, same thing for me in Cannibal Terror, where I hated the movie up until the last 20 minutes or so, and once they get to the tribe, the movie flies off the rails and it turns super entertaining. This movie doesn't even have that going for it.
The most entertaining bits that I found in the movie actually didn't even revolve around the cannibals. It was all the New York stuff. I mean, I just felt it felt more like a psychodrama, and then it just goes back to being a freaking cannibal movie. And so taking the cannibals out of it is kind of... belies the point of seeing it in the first place.
All right, well, I guess that's that then. Bye-bye, Jess. We'll catch you... Oh, God, actually, we've got other Jess Franco movies coming up. We're not done with you yet, Jess Franco. Fuck you. Well, thank you for joining us as we dissect and slog through the interminable, insufferable, nonsensical Jess Franco's Cannibals. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know, I really need more Jess Franco in my life, don't worry, because the Video Nasty Project has your back. We don't have not just one, not just two, we've got three more Jess Franco movies to get through. We've got The Devils, we've got The Erotic Rites of Frankenstein, and... The Zombie Lake or Zombie Oasis, one of those two he co-wrote. So don't worry, we've got plenty more to get through. In the meantime, drop us an email. TheVideoNastyProject@gmail.com is the address, and we'll catch you next week. Until that time, stay Franco.
Thank you.
I'm told that you know the Malabi region very well, better than the palm of your own hand.
No. Leave the palms of my hands out of it.
Thank you.